This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Bob Greenstein, and other center analysts are with me. We're, of course, talking about the census data released today on poverty, health insurance, and income. We've issued a two-page statement slash short analysis that is up on our website, and later in the afternoon, we will be posting a longer, more detailed analysis. I'd like to briefly mention here six points that stand out from these data, and then I will elaborate on a few of them, and we'll go quickly to your questions. Point number one, as you all know, these data show large increases both in poverty and in the ranks of the uninsured. Although the increase in poverty is somewhat overstated because the official poverty data cannot pick up the substantial expansions in assistance provided in 2009 under the Recovery Act in the form of refundable tax credits and food stamps. One needs a broader measure of poverty to pick those up. Point number two, these data show a very large impact in 2009 of unemployment insurance, and in particular, the unemployment insurance expansions enacted in the Recovery Act. The census data show that in 2009, unemployment insurance kept 3.3 million people out of poverty. In other words, in the absence of the income from the unemployment benefits, they would have been below the poverty line. By contrast, in 2008, unemployment benefits kept only 900,000 people out of poverty. When you look at the big increase in federal benefit expenditures and unemployment insurance between 08 and 09, while some of it, of course, was due to a higher unemployment, the majority of it is actually due to the expansions in the Recovery Act, and these data now show they had a large poverty-preventing effect. Number three, I noted earlier that the official poverty data cannot pick up the expansions in refundable tax credits and food stamps, the effects of those expansions, because refundable tax credits and food stamps aren't counted as income in the official poverty measure. They are counted in the broader poverty measures that many analysts favor. The Census Bureau disclosed today that if you count food stamps and refundable tax credits as income, as most analysts favor, that food stamp benefits in 2009 lifted 3.6 million people out of poverty who show up in today's official figures as being poor, and the refundable credits lifted 4.2 million people out of poverty who show up in today's data as being poor. Item number four, I guess the one pleasant surprise in today's data was that median household income was statistically unchanged between 08 and 09. It did not decline in 09. However, if you compare the median household income figure for 2009 to the figure for 2007, that is to say the last year before the recession started, you see a drop in median household income of 4.2% or $2,188 between 2007 and 2009. Obviously, nearly all of that drop occurred between 07 and 08 since it was flat between 08 and 09. Item number five, the big increase in both the number and the percentage of Americans who do not have health insurance. If you parse these data, you find that the number and percentage of uninsured did not go up among either children or elderly. The increase is entirely among people aged 18 to 64. The reason is not mysterious. Medicaid and children's health insurance program coverage, Medicaid coverage is much stronger among children than among working age adults, and there's a CHIP program for children, no counterpart for working age adults. and those programs expanded and offset the decline in private coverage for children in 2009, while, of course, the elderly are in Medicare, and they're also less dependent on the ups and downs of the labor market. So basically what we saw in 2009 was private coverage plunged, driven by a big drop in employer-based coverage. Medicaid and CHIP offset that effect for children, but there was not a comparable offsetting effect for working-age adults. The last item I will note before I explore a few of these a little further is that, unfortunately and sadly, we expect a further significant increase in poverty in 2011. Why? For two related reasons. Reason number one, the data show that in all of the recent recession recovery periods, that the poverty rate continued to rise for at least 1 year after the unemployment rate began to fall, and the unemployment rate is not projected to fall much in 2011. CBO and OMB both project an average unemployment rate in 2011 of 9%, and the blue chip consensus forecast is 9.3%. Reason number two, as I noted a few minutes ago, the expansions in unemployment insurance kept large numbers of people out of poverty in 2009, but those provisions are slated to end on November 30th of this year. Compounding that, what is called the TANF Emergency Fund, another Recovery Act provision, is, as we speak, supporting 250,000 subsidized jobs. That is to say, low-income parents and youth, 250,000 low-income parents and youth are currently in jobs, mainly private sector jobs, subsidized under this fund. That is scheduled to end in 2 weeks, on September 30th. So if we have a combination of continued high unemployment and a substantial reduction in things like unemployment insurance, then the combination is almost certain to result in a significant increase in poverty in 2011 above the very high level reported today for 2009. Now, just a few more words on a few of these items, and then we'll go your questions. Obviously, the increases in poverty, an increase of 3.7 million in the number of uninsured to 43.6 million, a climb in the poverty rate to 14.3%, reflect the deep recession and the unusually large amount of long-term unemployment. I want to stress the long-term unemployment. By late 2009, the share of unemployed workers who'd been out of work more than 6 months and were still looking for a job topped 40%. More than 40% of the unemployed had been out of work more than 6 months. That is a record for modern recessions. The previous high was something around 25%. This isn't a narrow new record. This is a new record by a huge margin. The longer people are out of work, the more likely they will fall into poverty, and also the more important the additional weeks of unemployment benefits become in moderating the degree to which the increase in long-term unemployment increases poverty. One could also note that the number of jobs in the economy dropped by more than 8 million between the beginning of 2008 and the end of 2009, with about 60% of that loss occurring before enactment of the Recovery Act. A second item I just wanted to spend a minute more on involves median household income. Now, median household income as a whole was statistically unchanged, as I noted, between 2008 and 2009. But it did drop 1.6%, or $858, for non-Hispanic white households, and it plunged 4.4%, or $1,500, for black households. Median income for black households fell to just $32,508. And if you look at the change from 2007 to 2009, among black households, median income fell 7.1%, or $2,500, over that two-year period. That's a pretty stunning figure. Finally, a little more on health insurance. So the number of uninsured rose by 4.3 million to 50.7 million, and the percentage of Americans without coverage rose from 15.4 to 16.7%, meaning that one of every six Americans was uninsured last year. These are the biggest year-to-year increases since census began collecting these data in 1987. The data really show a striking divergence between declines in private insurance and expanded coverage through federally supported programs. The number of people with private coverage plunged 6.5 million in 2009, driven by a drop in employer-based coverage. In 2008, 66.7% of Americans had private coverage. In 2009, 63.9% did. That's a really large drop for a one-year period. In contrast, the percentage of people with Medicaid rose from 14.1% to 15.7%. Without that expansion, the increase in the ranks of the uninsured would have been much bigger last year. As I noted earlier, the data by age are telling the same story, with the percentage of children and elderly with insurance remaining unchanged, not dropping, and a big drop among the percentage of people 18 to 64 who are uninsured. In other words, the increase in the ranks of the uninsured would have been bigger if it hadn't been for Medicaid and CHIP, which covered more people, particularly children, as the number with private health insurance fell. But I think those findings also have relevance to the newly enacted health reform law, because it substantially expands coverage for people who can't obtain coverage through an employer and who, under the programs in place in 2009, couldn't get things like Medicaid or Medicare either, those people aged 18 to 64. The conclusion is inescapable that had the health reform law been in effect in 2009, the number of people without health insurance would have risen far less last year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Read commentary from our experts at offthechartsblog.org. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, and create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.